Please join with me in singing, "This is My Father's World." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you that by his death and resurrection, he has defeated all his and our enemies. Though we do not yet see all things under his feet, yet we know that there is coming a day when the very last enemy, an alien to our planet, will be utterly, finally, totally obliterated and defeated, even death itself. And so, Lord, as we gather here today, we pray for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, who alone can take Scripture and seal it to our hearts. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that the word would be mixed by faith with faith, Lord, that we may profit from it and find comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in singing "Arms of Love." I'd rather be.
Shall I call him up?
Yeah.
Okay. Ross, would you come up and read Psalm 23? Thanks.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
This is a two-part message with many other things in between the two points. The first point of this message, which will be now, is taken from John chapter 10, where Jesus said in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I want to correct a lie. It is a depressing lie that people struggle with in the wake of a death such as Ian's. And that is that if we die by our own hand, there is no hope of heaven. That is a lie. I want to tell you that every one of Christ's sheep will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then he tells us that they're in the hands of the Father, and then he tells us that in his hands and in the Father's hands, because they are one, even as we are one with Christ, we are secure. Amen. The Bible teaches the eternal security of the believer. Not of every church member, not of every person that's been baptized, but of every believer. I knew Ian, I knew him well. Ian, in spite of struggles, in spite of sickness, trusted in Jesus Christ. I want to read you another passage of Scripture, and that's found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, because I believe it really underscores the comfort that we have of every believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And therefore, Ian is not here. He has left behind a part of himself, a part of himself that will be reconstituted when the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts and the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He is with Jesus. When he went to be with Jesus, I'm not exactly sure. It may have been Tuesday night a week ago. It may have been Sunday afternoon. I'm not sure. But of this I am sure. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let me share a passage of Scripture with you from the book of Romans, chapter 4, In verse 6, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Imputation, or the Greek word on which it's based, and the Hebrew word on which the Greek word is based, are accounting terms. They have to do with charging something to somebody's account. In our modern terminology, it would be like a credit card. A credit card that someone gives you to be used at your discretion, but whose bill is paid by someone else. Now, I want you to understand the man who is the author of this in Psalm 32, quoted in Romans 4, is King David. And King David wrote these words having committed two capital crimes. You see, adultery under the Old Testament law, under the law of God, was punishable by death. And so David was guilty of a capital crime, and in order to cover up that capital crime, he committed the sin of murder. He was a guilty man. But he wrote about the blessedness of the man who has a sin credit card, to put it anachronistically. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge his sins. We have the mistaken notion that somehow another, if we forget to confess a sin, somehow another it's a barrier between us and God. We have the mistaken notion that somehow another, if we have not asked God to forgive us at the moment we die, we can't make it into heaven. I want you to know, if you knew your heart the way God knows it, and my heart the way He knows it, well, none of us would ever make it into heaven, because there's a lot about you that you don't even know, and a lot about me that not even my wife and I know. Only the Lord knows. And if the Lord marked iniquity, who would stand? David, as a murderer, could write, how blessed is that man who has a sin credit card. David charged it. Jesus paid it in full. Now that's the gospel. And I want you to know something. If David, and I've been with people in ICU who've had this happen to them, if David had had a heart attack in the act of adultery with Bathsheba, he would have gone to heaven. And if you have difficulty with that, it's simply that you haven't really understood the essence of the gospel, that it is by grace alone, received through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is my confidence as I stand before you. Christ died for Ian Scott Job's sins. Christ died for my sins. And therefore, as I stand before you, I am comforted. I want you to ponder that as we continue the service by singing the next song, In Christ Alone. Fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God to helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its hold on me, for I am his and he is mine, the precious blood of Christ. Life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. The power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
I'm Brian Job. I'm Ian's father, his dad, as he called him. Grace, mercy, and peace to each of you here, and thank you so much for coming and being with us here on this day. God bless each and every one of you. Ian was everything I wanted in a child, but I didn't always appreciate that. Since his physical death, I have had death and hell, but the tremendous outpouring of the Spirit, working from God through Spirit-filled intercessory prayer, I have life and peace. God made Ian with an abundance of natural, wonderfully beautiful gifts, including his wildness, his unexpectedness, his fearlessness. He was beautiful and creative. And now Ian has a perfect spiritual guide in bringing together all those wonderful gifts that he has. Ian always spoke life to others. Remember him in that way. Speak life to others. Flow in the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter and is life. And I love you, Ian. Thank you.
I'm Ian's mom, Ann Job. What can I say about Ian? I could talk about his childlike joy in the smallest things, an interesting seed, a bug, the colors of the sky. The ring he wore was a plastic ring that he found in a parking lot one day. His delight in every baby and child that he met. I could share about what an encouraging son and brother he was. When I had my colostomy and it would make rude noises in public, he would always claim it so that I wouldn't be embarrassed. Ian shared our family with his friends like we were a gift to them, because that's how he saw us. I could tell stories about his bravery and strong outrage against injustice. About one late night when he helped a lady that was down on her luck escape from an abusive man in a parking lot. Or his dismay when he volunteered at the manor house and he realized that the food being served there was not the same quality that we ate at home. We could remember what a loving and faithful friend he was. Last year, when I was sick in the hospital, his friend Norma needed a place to stay. So, Ian, in his creativity, hid him in our tree house, brought food to him, and took care of him with the little resources he had. In the middle of his terrible worry about me, his heart's desire was always to help, to bring life. The night before he died, Ian asked to cuddle with me, which is something we often did at the end of the day. And we talked about God's unfailing love for him, and we prayed for a long time together. And I had the privilege of anointing his head with holy water and praying for him. His heart was right with the Lord. But in the end, I need to say something to Ian. Ian, your family will never stop thinking about you. We are grateful for the gift your life has been, and we are so excited to see you again in heaven, my dear one. Be at peace.
Hi, I'm Luke, Ian's younger brother. Thanks for being here. Ian Scott Job had an adept power to touch people. He could touch people's hearts, and he loved so big. Ian was a blessing. He made plenty of mistakes throughout his life, but there's no way that any of the bad he did could ever come close to outweighing all of the good. His mistakes are like a pip compared to the everything he did that was an accomplishment. He was always striving to make sure that everyone was laughing and having a great time. I don't doubt that he is in heaven. The best way we can honor Ian as he looks down from above is to stay happy. It's all he ever wanted, was for people to be happy. I miss him, but we all do. He wouldn't want us to mourn forever, but to pick up ourselves and be happy, and we will see him in heaven.
Hi, my name is Eli Job. I'm Ian's younger brother, and I wanted to sing a song for Ian because this is what he wanted to do for everybody else. If I had words to make a day for you, I'd give you a morning golden and true. I would make this day last for all time and give you a night deep in moonshine. If I had words to make a garden green for you, I'd grow grow flowers graceful and free. There would be trees to shade you always, and blue skies above shining brighter days. If I had words to make a day for you, I'd give you a morning golden and true. I would make this day last for all time, and give you a night deep in moonshine.
I'm Ivy Ray Stark, and I'm Ian's grandfather. We've been very blessed, my wife and I, that we were able to spend much time with Ian and their family over the years. You know, I read it somewhere, it says, those who are dear will always be near. And that's the way it is. Ann said, share something lighthearted with the people. But there's a serious note I want to share with you also. I thank you, Brother Bob, for handling the word correctly. I've had to preach a number of funerals myself. About 3 years ago, I preached 2 in 1 week or a week apart. And I appreciate people handling the word, handling it correctly. If you put your trust in Jesus, you have life everlasting. Amen. Jesus says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on the one who sent me has everlasting life. Will never come into condemnation, is passed from death unto life. Amen. See, the resurrection of Christ is upon us when we receive Jesus. We get that resurrection right then.
Yes.
He said, if you have the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, it will quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that is in you. See, I have no doubt in my heart where Ian is. Pastor put it very well. He worked in their churches, worked with Ian. They knew him well. Over the years, I've spoken in prisons, jails, all kinds of denominational churches. Was on the board of directors for Christian television. Spoke at their fellowship services, worked with homeless shelters. Yes, prayed with people in all kinds of venues. Caleb and I, we prayed with a couple of people there at Walmart right down the street. Everybody's walking by, we laid hands on, prayed them. So I've ministered in lots of ways. A lot of different services I've been in. But you know what? This service, it means the most to me. In the mornings before school, I go over to Ann's house, knock on the door. Ann come to the door and she said, Papa, you're just in time. We're fixing to have our Bible study. And I would go and sit with them. And Ann is a great Bible teacher. She taught them to pray. But she didn't just teach them to pray. She helped them to understand that God is a living God. That you're not just praying to a rock like some of those people in foreign countries might pray to. He's a real person who loves us. He hears us. And I recall Ann telling the boys in those sessions, well, let's look back over the last month. What have we prayed for? And they mentioned some things to pray for. All right, now, let's see what the answers was. Tell me what God's done here. And she let them figure out what God was doing. How did he answer the prayer? Did he answer it like we prayed it? Sometimes he did. But sometimes he doesn't answer them that way, Brother Bob.
That's right.
We don't know how to pray correctly. Sometimes. He may give us a little bit of a different answer. And sometimes we may not have seen the answer yet. But you know, it was those times that meant the most to me. Of all the services I go to, it was those wonderful times that I spent with her and those kids. Because I know they had the correct gospel presented to them, just like Brother Bob is bringing here today. I preached the same messages in a number of funerals myself, in a number of settings in the prisons. Because you see, you're preaching, in a way you're preaching a funeral every time you preach. Because if you don't get this right, you've got the wrong place to go to when you leave here. And see, that's the message. You come to the altar. You're not talking to me. You're not confessing to me. You're confessing to the Lord. Get your stuff right and get yourself forgiven. Now, Ian is, he's gone. But he's not forgotten. And you know, all those hugs, he had come hug, Papa, I love you. We're going to have some more of those hugs. In John 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. So I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ian is already over there. One of these days, I'm going to be over there, and guess what? I'll get to hug him again.
Amen.
I know that she wanted me to just stay on the light notes, but as a preacher, this is what's important to me. Now, Ian was a fun guy. Me and my brother were sitting out on the back porch one day, and Ian and Angela's kids and a bunch of the other kids, they were running, ripping, climbing trees. Ian is jumping off the buildings. Need a miracle a day to keep them alive. They're just full of energy. And my brother turned and he said, do you know who that looks like? I said, yeah. It looks like those Scott boys. It was nine of us. So we appreciated Ian and those boys. They're good boys. Sometimes we make wrong decisions. I make them myself. But that's being kids. And my brother was talking about, we had to have a miracle every day just to stay alive. And we saw that with those boys. Some of them, Ian and all of those others, they played football. They needed a miracle every day. Now let me share one light moment with you, and then I'm going to go sit down. Me and my brother was in town. We went to eat, and I said, are you in any hurry? He said, no. I said, let's go over and see Ian play. He's playing baseball right now. So we get over to the baseball game. We sat there. It was a guy right behind the backstop. He said, Ian, you can't catch that ball. You can't get him out. No, he's safe. He just kept harassing Ian. After a while, Ian had enough of it. When they threw the pitch, he took the pitch and turned around, walked back to the backstop. And he looked the guy right in the face. He said, I know you would like to have my autograph. But would you wait till after the game? Because I'll give it to you. Now, Ian is gone in one sense, but he's never going to be gone because we're always going to love him. He's always a part of our family. And we know we're going to see him again in the Father's house. And I want to thank all of y'all who have supported us so well. Thank you.
I'm not wearing any shoes because every time I saw Ian, he didn't have any shoes on. He was always living life to his fullest. He didn't have time for shoes or the things that we are all so concerned about. My mom wrote this, and I'm going to read it for her. One Christmas, we were preparing to celebrate Jesus' birthday. As I was taking out the different colored birthday candles that we used to represent each person in the Christmas story, I asked why white was the perfect color to represent Jesus. Ian quickly answered, because Jesus is pure. My mom wants Ian to know that we love him and Jesus has always loved him. I'm Ann's youngest sister, Elise. I forgot to introduce myself. I just want to share a moment that I had with Ian. And this, to me, this moment is Ian, it's so how he was. Last November, Ann had a routine hysterectomy. She recovered well in the hospital. I went out of town that weekend. When I was returning back that Sunday, my sister Angela texted me. She said, something's not right with Ann. She didn't know what it was, but she asked me to check on her. The next morning, I got up, I went to Kroger, wanted to buy her some of her favorite foods, not realizing she was unable to eat them. She called me as I was walking in to her house. As I spoke to her, I started to realize the seriousness of this illness. I walked upstairs to see her, and the woman I saw was drawn. Her face, she looked 80 years old, not like my sister. But her mind was good. She was unable to walk at that time. She was very weak, but she told me of everything that had happened since she'd seen you last. We both knew she had to get to the hospital fast, but I wasn't sure how. I came up with a few plans of how to get her downstairs. I knew even if we called emergency services, we still had to get her downstairs. I went downstairs myself looking for the kids. The first person I saw was Ian. He was outside on the porch smoking. He was anxious. I told him, we've got to get your mom to the hospital because she's really sick. He responded, yes, I know. I said, I wasn't sure how we're gonna get her downstairs, but come with me, I need help. He looked at me and he said, I will carry her. He and his brothers carried Ann down to the stairs that day, to the van. Each step was hard, but they were determined. The last thing I remember was Ian putting his mom in the seat and helping her to put her feet in the car. It was a beautiful demonstration of his love for Ann. It was Ian at his best. He was always willing to help and serve when he could. He has served me in so many ways through so many different times in my life. If I asked for help, he always gave it. It was one of his special gifts. Ian, I'll always love you. You'll always be my nephew, and you'll never be forgotten.
Thank you.
Every day as I pray, there's always a hymn that I carry with me, whatever it may be that day, but there's some hymn that comes to me in the morning. On Sunday morning, I awoke to this particular hymn. My heart was filled with this song, and it carried me through the day, and it's carried me. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made.
Speak up, Angela.
I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I've never in my life known someone who felt life as deeply as Ian did. He felt it, he experienced it, was head on all the time. And I think to myself, Ian is glad, and I can only imagine how he's experiencing heaven. His joy and his happiness and his... We will love you forever, Ian. We will miss you always, but you will always be a part of our family.
This is from Aunt Jackie. Ian, you were such a happy, fun, and loving person, always sharing yourself so generously with family and friends. When we were together, you especially included the little guys like Kobe and Jacques, such as Thanksgiving Day when you played football with Kobe as well as the older guys, or helping Jacques with his video game on the iPad. These were times that warmed my heart and endeared you even more to me. The boys really enjoyed spending these special moments with you. My heart is broken, and I know that we were so blessed to have you in our family. We miss and love you so much. You will, because of this, live on in our hearts always. Love, Aunt Jackie.
Can everybody see me? I'm kind of short. Okay. Hi, I'm Shelby Curry. It's so overwhelming to see everybody here, to know everybody loved him. I'm
know a lot of people will come up today and tell you what a great guy Andrew was. We'll praise him for all that he used to be, prodigiously talented and remarkably witty. I would too, but I don't want to think of it that way. I don't want to think about who he was, because in my heart he's still that person. It may hurt us to think that someone so talented and so loving can't be with us any longer physically, but it's not his body that connects us to Ian. It's his memories. His memories can keep him with all of us. In the beginning of my grieving process, I just craved to be alone. I wanted to be alone with my memories of Ian. I didn't want anyone around. But since yesterday at the wake, I decided that I needed to share some memories of Ian with you guys. Because you guys loved him too. And you guys are hurting too. When I was just a few weeks old, I met Ian. On and off throughout my childhood, I lived with my Uncle Brian and Aunt Anne. It was kind of interesting living with Ian. Ian was lively and vivacious. No matter where he went, what he was doing, he pursued all things with energy and spirit, so much that when he was home, he would often be found taking a nap, worn out from his exertions. He was incredibly gregarious and charismatic, always talking to people, introducing himself. It didn't take him long to make friends, and friends that lasted him his whole life. He had such an innate and wonderful sense of humor. People just gravitated to him. But he also had so much talent just surging through his veins. Often I would find him awake in the early morning, drawing a new comic or writing manuscripts, or sometimes laid out on his bed with his guitar resting on top of him. He'd obviously been working all night long to transfer his ideas to reality. His creative process was infectious. Everyone was always keeping tabs to see what he would do next. I consider myself very lucky to have been as close to him as I was. He told me once that he and the rest of the Jobs thought of me as a sister, which immediately brought me to tears, as I am now. Though Ian was a real joker and had a great sense of humor, he knew when somebody needed him and he would be there. To me, and I'm sure most of us, he will always be there. We might hear a crazy laugh in the crowd and he will come to mind. Rather than to cry that he can't be with us, I want to take peace that wherever he is so much better. And he's not alone. He feels no worry or stress, this reverberating calm, and one day we'll see him again.
I wasn't going to speak, but every time I hear Angela's dad get up and preach, I want to get saved again. So I wanted to get up here and talk. I'm Andy Boone. For those of you who don't know who I am, I was Ian's favorite uncle. When I think about Ian, I don't think about the pain and the last couple of years. I think about when he was born, when he was a baby. I think about babysitting him. I would give Ann and Angela some time to go off, and I would babysit him. He was a biter. He loved to bite. There was times where I got the permission to whip him and things like that. But you always had to watch him. But he was Wesley's best buddy from the time They were scooting around the floor. They were best buddies. And that's probably one of the reasons I love him so much, because he brought such joy to my Wesley. We would go on family vacations together. And I loved that because my kids loved the Joe Boys. And, you know, you want your kids to be happy, and they just brought such joy to them. I was Ian's coach. I coached him in baseball, coached him in football. It was a struggle, to say the least. Ian hated practice. He did not like the structure. He was a gamer. He was good when the games came on. He was fearless. No one liked to hit Ian because he did not care. He would get hurt all the time because he wasn't very big, but he would throw his body around. And, if he would have kept playing, he would have been really good. But he didn't like the structure, practice and all that. And it was a struggle, to say the least, when his mom would drop him off for practice. But that was just part of the joy of, you know, of coaching him and being around him. I was his chauffeur. I would bring him to the movies, bring him swimming, bring him to Blue Bayou, bring him out to eat. They were always there with my boys. And that's the memories I have of Ian. The last couple years, you know, I know he struggled, and Ann was sick, and I got in a wreck, and Angela's been sick, my mom's been sick, and, you know, life happens, and we just kind of get busy. But, you know, when you think about Ian, think about all the good times, everybody has their memories with him. And, you know, I think that's how I will remember him, as is bringing such joy to my boys and my family. Thank you.
By the way, if you would like some copies of Ian's work, his aunt Elise would be the person you ought to see. If we ended now, I would fail in my task. So I would like you to give attention to the Word of God one more time from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Please hear me well. The Bible tells us that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to those who love God, not for everybody, for those who love God. The Bible also tells us there, or let's say what the Bible doesn't tell us there, is that all things are good. Life is full of evil. Life is full of sin, darkness, and pain. If you live long in this world, you know something of that. People will knife you in the back. They will betray you. They will lie about you. They will hurt you. To know people well is to know their tragedy. I cannot leave here without saying the following. I respect Ian. I knew Ian. I love Ian. He is with Jesus. Amen. But what he did was a very bad thing. And if I fail to say that to you, I have failed all of you. And particularly I failed young people. Because Ian loved life. That's the strange contradiction, isn't it? Ian loved life, and Ian would spend time with other people encouraging them to live. Amen. God forbid that this service and all of the tributes that have been given about Ian on the internet over the past week would leave anyone here thinking that what he did was heroic, that it was something to be imitated, that this is the way to get attention, that this is the way to get people to hear you, God forbid that you would go out of here thinking that. For Christ Jesus' sake, choose life.
Amen.
For Christ Jesus' sake, don't take your own life. Because I know I'm speaking to some people who are thinking about it. And I want you to hear me really well. And even though Ian is with Jesus, he would shout from heaven, "Live! Live! Live! Choose life!"
Amen.
I want you to know that. All things work together for good. Not that all things are good to those who love God. In Ian's death, because his father was able to restart his heart, being a physician, Ian's body, according to Ian's wishes, is giving life to people. Heart and other organs who would never live without Ian's body. That's for good. But there's something far more important than life in this world, and that is life in the world to come. If through Ian's death, the tragedy of his death, the pain of his death, some people here today come to grips with a fundamental issue. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? That's the most important thing of all. If by Ian's death, people here today who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ would choose today to seek God until they found him, would choose today to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart, to change them and to give them a new heart, to give them the gift of repentance and the gift of faith, and to seek God until they know they found him. I'll tell you what, in eternity we'll all say, well, even in the case of Ian Jobe's death, all things work together for good to those who love God. I leave you then with that question before we dismiss. Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you don't know him, you could become the President of the United States, the owner of the wealthiest country in the world. And what have you gained? A few moments of pleasure for an eternity of pain. But if you know the Lord Jesus, no matter what happens in this life, he'll be with you. In your grief and in your tears, he'll sustain you. And you'll be with him forever. May we pray. Lord, as we sing this final hymn, as we go from this place, leaving the family for the private part of this service, we pray that your Holy Spirit would haunt us. Haunt us, Lord, until each of us here really and truly comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, truly is born again, truly knows Christ. How wonderful it would be if there would be people who in eternity would say, on January the 28th, 2015, I passed from darkness to life. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, only knowing about him before I was born again. How wonderful it would be in eternity that some would be able to say that. Lord, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you join me in singing Amazing Grace as we stand together, and we will sing five stanzas.
Lord.
Himself personally through the Holy Spirit is going to touch you and put His name on your head. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.